As you can see up here on the board, this is our general outline, and we're in part number 25 of our Genesis Bible study. We're going to look at all of chapter 10 this morning, Lord willing. Hope we can. We'll just see how it goes. But you can see we're going to be talking about the Table of Nations, the descendants of Noah going through his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And we'll be looking at, in particularly, the line of Shem. Probably we're going to concentrate on it the most toward the end. He's the last one that his descendants are mentioned. And then we'll spend some time on Ham's line, considering he's the cursed line. And then we're going to talk about races, where the races come from, if that is a term we really want to be using or not, and how we can have different skin colors if we come from one race of people. And so a few things up here we want to talk about this morning. I pray that it'll be a help to you. And we'll go ahead and just, we'll start with verse 1 of Genesis chapter 10 and just work our way on down through the rest of this chapter. Genesis chapter 10, and starting with verse 1. The Bible says, "Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood." All right, so we'll stop right here for a second, kind of catch up. I don't know how many sermons I listen to, but I listen to a bunch every week. I don't know. If I was guessing, I'd say I listen to about 25 a week. And a lot of times when I'm studying for something, I'll listen to other men's ideas after I have my own outline already made. I don't like to ever listen to anybody before I've started. I don't want it to influence me. So I like to hear what other people have to say. And almost everyone that I listen to, they started out like this. "Well, we're in Genesis chapter 10, and you've probably never heard anybody teach or preach on this because all it is a list of names." Almost every one of them. And I kept thinking, now, wait a minute. I just heard, you know, this guy say the same thing. So I'm not going to say that this morning. I have heard a lot of messages out of Genesis chapter 10. And when we're faced with a lot of names like this, we do have the tendency to glaze through them. I was going over these names last night. I was telling Mary, I said, this is going to be difficult for me to pronounce all these names correctly. And so I started trying to pronounce them all. And I sounded like something crazy by the time I was done. There is 70 different nations that spring out of the descendants of Noah. And out of these 70 nations, you're going to find many of these names mentioned. I believe on that first page of your notes I gave you, there's 74 names listed there in those three lists from these three sons. And so a lot of difficult ones. And if anybody here is an expert on being able to pronounce names like this, you are welcome to read the text today. But you bear with me when I do start reading and I get across some of these names that are difficult. And, of course, that line of Ham, we see all those ites in it, the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, and all those other ites. And so we'll struggle through it. All right, so as here we see here in Genesis chapter 10, verse 1, it's talking about the generations. It says the generations of the sons of Noah, so Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, we've talked all along how that is always mentioned when the three sons are named together. It's always in that order, even though that is not the order they were born in. Japheth was the oldest, and then Shem, and then Ham. Ham was the youngest. The Bible tells us that Japheth was the elder, so we know he's older than Shem. But when it's listed, they always list Shem first, and we believe that's probably because he is the line that's blessed. And we're going to see, as we'll talk about this morning, we're going to see that the Bible is going to concentrate, after Genesis chapter 10, it's really going to concentrate on the line of Shem, and the others it's not going to mention much. Well, Genesis 11, of course, will be dealing with Ham's line coming through Nimrod. But after that, all the attention that the Lord places on people is placed upon one certain line of people, and it comes from Shem, and it goes down through, and we're going to look at that bloodline of Shem. If you look at that chart I gave you there, the first one, you might notice and recognize many names that we're very familiar with, and even after these, we're going to find that that line, as you can see on your board I've put up here, it goes down through, and I've highlighted some important names through his line. Of course, Eber, his great-grandson, and then eventually to Peleg, and then Abram, who is Abraham, and then all the way to the Messiah, Jesus. And so you can see the emphasis that God is placing on that particular line of people. Very important that we understand that. Now, every single person in the world today, we can trace our bloodline straight back to one of Noah's three sons. We know that the line of Shem was the Semitic line, which is the Jewish. We call them Jewish. And Matthew mentioned the other day, I was mispronouncing that on the end of the class. And I know as soon as he said it, I was like, I don't know why I was doing that. What was I saying?
Semite.
That's what they are. They're the Semitic people, which are the Jews. But the other lines, like in particular Japheth, his line is the Gentile line. And we'll be looking at that more as we go. But everybody can trace their bloodline back to one of these three sons. And it's not Chip, Ernie, and Robbie from my three sons. It's Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You young people don't even know who I'm talking about, but that's okay. Look it up. So we discussed last week how when their names are listed together, it's always in that same order. I've already mentioned that. But you'll find throughout the rest of the book of Genesis that we're going to concentrate on that bloodline that comes from Shem, eventually getting down to the Messiah. Now, it is through Noah's sons that we can trace back all the different nations. Now, I've got up here a question mark beside the word races. The reason being is because we tend to classify people into races. That's our modern way of thinking. That is not the Bible way of thinking. The Bible doesn't mention different races. There's one race. There's one race of people, and it's the human race. There's not multiple races. We're all one race. Now, we are different nations. The Bible uses the word nations. And so let's use Bible language and not use man's language and say what the Bible does. And the Bible calls them nations. These are the generations. It says generations that come from Noah. And later on, it calls them the nations. Yeah, in verse 5, it says, after this tongue, after their families and their nations. So we want to stay away from the word race. Race is used real loosely these days. We might say a white race or black race, or when you fill out a form, it may say your race. And you might put Caucasian or whatever you put in there. But there's one race, and it's the human race. Animals are a different race. They're not human. And so as we continue through this chapter, we presented with all these names, like I mentioned, difficult names. And some of them you will never see again in the Bible. But several of them you will see again. Ezekiel, in particular, mentions some of these that are kind of odd names. He mentions them over in Ezekiel. But a lot of these, we'll find that their descendants had a big mark on this world and what God has done through them. For instance, we're going to find that one of Ham's lines here that comes from Ham is Nimrod. His son Cush had Nimrod. And Nimrod is very instrumental in idolatry. We're going to find that it's his line that we find the seed of idolatry created in the land that he started over in Babel, in Babylon. So we'll be looking to him closer next week, Lord willing, in chapter 11, because it's dealing with him. Now, I have there in your notes the table of nations, and that's what we refer to this as. The Bible doesn't use that term, but that's just what we call it. It's a table of nations. It shows us. And by the way, this is the only source that we have in the world that describes where people came from. You know, you don't find this in the secular world. They don't have it. They can go so far, but they don't have anything else. We have to rely upon biblical authority to show us where we came from. And it all traces straight back to the sons of Noah and eventually to Adam. We know that. We're all, and you may hear this term, the race of Adam. That's what we are. We're the race of Adam. And so we are all one race, but the table of nations there, and that's what that is. The second page, it's kind of, that's the table of nations. Those same names are in that first page as well. It's just not done out in a genealogy chart. But these are where we come from, where we can trace ourselves back to. Now, there's many such charts that's out there on the internet, and if you look them up, you'll find a lot of them. I settled on these instead of making my own because, quite frankly, I was so busy with everything else, I didn't have time to make a table. But I used the best one I could find, the most accurate one I could find, and I believe that to be it. Now, Josephus, the Jewish historian, he has his own chart, which is very similar to this, and it's very accurate, just slightly different. He has one in his book. Of course, you know, he was around after the time of Christ, shortly after. He great historian. We get a lot of information from Josephus. I did not give you his chart, but you can look it up. When you type that in Google, it's one of the first things that come up when you put in Table of Nations. So we begin, first of all, the Bible begins with the sons of Japheth. So it is an order given us, so far it's an order. It's given us the oldest son's bloodline or genealogy here. And the Bible says in Genesis 10:21 that he's Japheth the elder. So we know he's the oldest son. So verse 2 back in Genesis chapter 10 says the sons of Japheth, Gomer and Magog and Madai and Javan and Tubal and Meshech and Tiras. So we see Japheth has seven sons altogether. Now Moses doesn't spend as much time on Japheth's line as he does the other two lines. One reason being because it is the Gentile line. And it's further away from the area that we're focusing on there in that area of Palestine or Israel or whatever you want to call that one area where all this eventually is settled on. So the Gentiles are outside of that. They sometimes call it the island of Gentiles is where his descendants eventually became. And so they spread out in a lot of places. That first page I gave you kind of shows some of the races that sprang from his line. And it says at the top of there, Japheth, the Aryan race. And so I know a lot of times we call that the white race. And certainly a lot of white people, they came out of the line of Japheth. And we call them white people. We're all really brown people. I'm going to talk about that more in just a minute. But Japheth is the Aryan line or the Gentile line. And as you see down through that chart, and I'm going to read as I go through these names, I'm going to also highlight where they're from and what race they are. But you have ones that we're familiar with, the Celts there, and then the Armenians, the Scythians, the Medes, the Greeks. We know these are all white folk, Europeans. That's where they settled in the European lands, Russia, Germany, France, Italy, all these lands like this. This is the line of Japheth is where they settled in. Now, the first son there mentioned Gomer, and it's not Pile. According to Jewish historian Josephus, again, he says that that's where the line of the Gauls come from, which eventually made up the area of Galatia. And we know that Galatia, if you study that, it's the Gauls began there, and it was named after them, Galatia from Gauls. But Josephus says that Gomer is where the Galatians came from originally, and they were originally called the Gomerites. How'd you like to have that name? What family are you from? I'm from the Gomerite family. It's also believed that these were the descendants here, or the originators of Western Europe. And so the descendants of Gomer specifically became Germans and French, Spanish, and Celtic people. Some people say Celtic, Celtic. Both words are accepted. Both words are right. So if you listen to Celtic music or Celtic music, you're fine either way. But we know those kinds of people. That's probably where the Chesneys come from. We're Scotch-Irish is where we originated from, and so we're from that area. So I guess we can trace our line back to Japheth. Next, one of his sons is named Magog. Now that name is very familiar to those that study end of time prophecy. And you'll remember that this will be a great battle, and we've got Magog and Gog. That is where that name comes from. So these settled in the Northern Europe area, which now we know as Russia. And so Magog, and we know if you study end of time prophecy, it's believed that those from the north are going to come down and invade into Jerusalem. It says they invaded from the north, and so Russia coming down, as a lot of people believe, and me myself, I believe that they're going to be instrumental in the final great war that we'll see. And so Magog settled in Russia. What does it say on our list? Scythians. And then Madai, this is where the Medes come from. And this is the area around Iran and Iraq, which is just below Russia. Iran is right here. Iraq's right here. So
not too far, but over in this area is where they settled in.
Now, these are also going to be enemies of God's people, by the way. As you know, Babel and Babylon is in that same area. And so we're going to see that those enemies of God's people come from the north. Most of the time you'll see them, they come from the north. And then Javan, this is the Hebrew name for Greeks. So the Greeks come out of that line, and we all know the Greeks down there around the area of Rome, or around the boot, as you see on the map. Tubal and Meshach, both are, those names are usually mentioned together when they're mentioned. And it's believed that this is where the Spaniards come from these two lines of men. And then lastly, Tyrus. They occupied Southeast Europe, where the Thracians come from. Thracians, that name is very familiar if you study like Roman history. There was one time that they came against the nation of Thracians, and they took them as prisoners. And they were some of the ones that they put into to fight against the lions, I think, what they call them, the gladiators. A lot of the Thracians became gladiators to the Romans. They were slaves to them. And so they fought in the gladiator games. Well, next we see in verse 3, the sons of two of Noah's sons, so Noah's grandsons. Verse 3, and the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Riphath, and Togarmah. So Gomer had three sons, and that first one, Ashkenaz, it's believed that these settled in the area where Germany is now. And in Riphath, more of the Celtic people settled around in that area and that from that line. And then Togarmah, these settled in Eastern Asia. And these were known as Armenians. Now, you remember that term, Armenians. We use that often when we're talking about whether or not people are Armenian or not. Verse 4 says, and the sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. So Javan had four sons. That Elisha, these settled in the area of Macedonia and were part of the Hellas. Tarshish, they settled in the area of Spain. Kittim, they settled in Cyprus. And it's said that Alexander the Great, that was where his bloodline came from, was through those people right there, the Kittims, who settled in that area of Cyprus. And then Dodanim. These settled in Asia Minor, which is the area of Turkey that we know of today. And this is where the inhabitants of Troy came from. You know, Troy, the ones that fought against the Greeks in the Trojan War. Verse 5 says, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families and their nations. So there's that phrase, isles of the Gentiles. And that's just simply meaning the different nations that we just referred to. And so Moses ends the bloodline of Japheth by giving us some of the descendants of his two sons, Gomer and Javan. Doesn't mention sons from the other ones. And his focus, like I said, is not really going to be on the Gentile line. From here on out, he's not going to really talk about them throughout the rest of the book of Genesis. His focus is going to be more on the line of Shem and Ham. And so verse 6 says, and the sons of Ham. Now we get to Noah's son Ham. And his sons, of course, is Cush and Mizraim and Phut and Canaan. Now, that name Canaan, we talked about that last week. He was the one who was cursed. He was the one that when Ham came and saw Noah after he got drunk and he was passed out and he was naked, and Ham saw his father's nakedness, he was uncovered, and we discussed that, what that possibly could have meant, and that he might have had some kind of perverted act with him, or his son Canaan did, because the curse was put on the line of Canaan. Now, one thing that you're going to find interesting, or I did anyway, as I studied this, not only was Canaan's line a rotten line, but these other sons also were rotten. Their bloodline ended up with rotten people in them. For example, Cush, he begat Nimrod, the Bible said. You can't get much more rotten than Nimrod. So not only was Canaan's line cursed, but Cush and Mizraim and Phut, all of them, bad things sprang from. He's the black sheep of the family. And interesting, I use that word black I'm not being racist here, but the line of Ham is where you find black people originated from. There's a lot of discussion these days in religious circles about racism within religion. I don't know if you've kept up with this or not. Maybe I'm just weird and I like to keep up with these things, but there's a big dispute going on, for instance, in the Southern Baptist Convention right now concerning racism. And they're claiming that there's a lot of racism going on in the Baptist, the convention, and other religions. And so they're signing some documents and things that are forcing people to accept different races and such. It's not been very long ago since, for instance, Bob Jones University, which he's not Southern Baptist, he's independent. Bob Jones University, until George Bush was running for president, banned interracial dating. And when George Bush ran for president, and he was going to speak at Bob Jones campus, well, the media got a hold of their laws about interracial marriage, and they made a big deal out of it. Well, Bob Jones University decided they would lift that ban and allow interracial dating on their campus. That was, I believe, what, in 2000? It's not been that long ago. And so there's been a lot of things just recently that's came out where, you know, some religions do look down on interracial relationships and marriages. And like I said at the beginning, we use that word race, which is not a real word to use because we're all one race. We just got different colors of skin. And I'm going to talk about that and why we can do that, why some people have dark skin, why some people have light. Oh, I'm going to have to get with it, though. Okay, so we have this line of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, Phut, and Canaan, these four sons. Cush, this is where the Ethiopians come from. Even to this day, the Ethiopians, if you research them, do a little bit of history on them, they speak the language of Cushitic, which is from the line of Cush. So they come from this line, the Ethiopians. On a side note, as I was studying on this, I found out that in the United States, we have the second most population of Ethiopians here in the U.S. 250,000 Ethiopians, native Ethiopians, live here in the U.S., according to the last census that was made. The second largest group, I believe, are in Israel. And so you also find that Ethiopians, a lot of them are mixed with Jewish people. And so there's a lot of Jewish Ethiopians. Quite interesting. A lot of their population now are turning Muslim, as is most of that side of the world. And so the Ethiopians, we know, are dark-skinned people. They're black people. And so you may wonder, well, how did Noah have three different sons and they come have three different colors of skin? How could they do that? Because we saw that Japheth was Aryan race, which we identify with whites, Europeans, white. And then Ham, we see it identified with black people, Ethiopians and such. Seth is more of a brown type people, the Semitic race, Jews and such. And so we know they have a browner type skin. And so we always wonder, well, how did this happen? Why are there different colors of skin? Well, there's some that will teach you, and if you study on this, you'll find this. They'll teach you that it depends on the region of the world that you live in. And it's all due to your ability to be able to absorb or not absorb ultraviolet rays from the sun. And so what they claim is, if you live in the area, let's say Africa, in which the Ethiopians lived in this area right up here at the top of Africa, around Egypt and Sudan and all this area around in here. I can't find Ethiopia. Ethiopia is right there. And so you see all this area right here. And we know this area, if you go over there right now, they're black. Their skin color is black. If you move down here, their skin color is white. Did you know that? Did you know people in Africa have white skin? So up here, they've got black skin. And so they say, well, this area has got a lot of sunlight. There's ultraviolet rays. Their skin has become black over time. And, you know, and they trace it down to things like evolution and things like that. All right. All that's not true. It's not true. That's not why they've got black skin. It's not because they live in a certain area. It is true, the more they're in the sunlight, their skin does get burnt and does turn darker, but that is not why they have different skin color. And so they'll claim that if you depend on where you live, you'd be white. We know that most Russians are very white because it's a cold area, you know, and all this.
Well, here's the problem. If you live right up, where's Alaska? It's way up there, Alaska. If you live in Alaska, where there's very rarely any sunlight, it's dark most of the year, they're bundled up all the time. If you go to Alaska, they're all bundled up, got all these clothes on, their skin's not exposed because they'll get frostbite. Did you know that most Alaskans have dark skin? They're not pale white like you would think they would be, being in a region like that. So the region is not the reason of the different colors of skins. The fact is there's one skin color, and it's brown. Now, I can look around the room, and everybody in here is just slightly different shade. Some are whiter, some are darker. But we're all one shade, and it's called brown. It's a pigment called melanin. That's what our skin color is from, is melanin. It depends on the amount of melanin that you have in your body on how dark or light your skin is. If you have very little melanin, your skin's going to be white. If you have a lot of melanin, your skin's going to be dark. If you have an extremely bunch of melanin, your skin's going to be black. If you have no melanin, then you are an albino. That's what happens. They have no melanin in their blood, and they're white. You can see their veins. They're almost pink looking. And so the fact is we're all brown people. Our skin color is determined by our DNA from our parents. When you're born and your parents are together, you get, it's not always 50% from each parent, but you get some from your mother and some from your father. You get their DNA. And it depends on how the cells interact and what they tell it to do on what you're going to become. For instance, that melanin also determines what color your hair is and your eyes are. And it depends on your genetic structure, your DNA. And we all know what DNA is. It's the genetic code for human beings. DNA has been known about for quite a while, but it wasn't until, the early 1900s that they really started focusing and trying to determine everything about DNA. I am not a scientist or anything like that, but I've done a lot of studying on it. And so scientists say that if you put all your DNA molecules together in one line, from end to end, that it would reach from Earth to the sun and back over 600 times. That's 100 trillion times 6 feet divided by 92 million miles. Yet all of that can fit within the human body. So that's pretty miraculous. Recent studies have found that every human being on the face of the earth share 99.9% of the same DNA. Recently, there was a bunch of smart men got together from all these brilliant colleges and scientists. They all got together. And you know what they discovered? For some reason, it appears that everybody came from the same people. They came from the same two sets of the same parents. And they're all confused about it. Well, just open up the Bible and it tells you where they come from. We come from Adam and Eve. So we do share the same DNA. Everybody shares a portion of the same DNA, so 99.9%. It depends on how that structure is built and how your cells are lined up on what you look like, what color you are, what your hair looks like. All this stuff depends on how the genetic code is made up inside of you. And so it's not dependent on where you live or anything like that. So out of one couple, a man and a woman come together, a husband and wife, out of those couples can become thousands upon thousands of different sets of DNA structure to make people different ways. So out of Noah can come all these lines of people. And so you take Ham, for instance. And it talks about his son, Cush, and that we know that's where the Ethiopians come from. Ethiopians are usually black. Well, from the line of Ham, then his DNA structure, the melanin that's in his skin, was darker than it was over in the skin of Japheth. So it's as simple as that. We don't have to make it more difficult. And so now that you've had your science lesson, we'll continue on. From Babel. That's where the languages came from.
Where what?
Languages.
Languages.
We're going to be talking about that next week.
All right. Yeah. I'm sitting here thinking it's where I thought all the come from.
Well, it does connect with this because that's where people are going to get scattered. They're going to go out to different regions.
Okay.
And these places we're talking about, that's where they will go. And so it will be that, but that's
We'll talk about it more next week.
I'm sorry, I just...
No, you're fine. No, no, it's a good point. I'd like to have done both chapters together, but I don't have time. We've only got 15 minutes now. All right, so let's carry on. Verse 7. And the sons of Cush. So now we're on Cush, the grandson of Noah. It says Seba and Havilah and Sabta and Rama and Sabtica. And then and the sons of Rama, Sheba, and Dedan. And so it names both the sons and grandsons here. So Cush has six sons altogether, because in verse 8 it says he also begat Nimrod. So it lists five in verse 7, and in verse 8 it mentions Nimrod. And we're only told of one of his son's children, Rama, who had two sons. All right, so verse 8. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Okay, so I've taught on this before, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because we're going to talk about Nimrod next week. But where it says Nimrod was a mighty hunter, it wasn't talking about hunting rabbits or animals. What this appears to be is that he was a hunter of men, and he'd become so notorious for it that it had brought attention to God, and that's why it's mentioned here. Moses mentions it here in Genesis, that he was a mighty one on the earth. In other words, people knew about him. He was a mighty hunter of men. People knew about him. He was feared, and he'll become a king. He'll become a king as he gets over into two lands in particular that the Bible mentions that he began, which is Babel, which becomes Babylon, and then Nineveh, which we know was a wicked place. That's where Jonah was sent to tell them to repent. And they did for a little while, and then eventually they were destroyed. But it says that he was a mighty hunter. He was a murderer. He was rebellious. He's a wicked man. And this wickedness got God's attention. Look at verse 10. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calna, and the land of Shinar, or Shinar. Okay, so all these lands that sprang out of Nimrod were wicked lands. You're going to find that these were all enemies of God's people. That it mentioned particularly Babel, which it's not named that originally, but it will be named Babel because the languages were confused and people began babbling. That's where we get the word Babel. You know, somebody comes up and they're making a lot of jibber-jabber and don't make any sense. You say, quit babbling. That's where we get that from. Babylon, Babel. People are babbling. We can't understand them. So we'll be looking closer at Babel as we go on next week. Look at verse 11. Out of that land went forth Ashur and builded Nineveh and the city of Rehoboth and Kala. I've got to tell you, this name right here, Ashur, or Asher, I'm not exactly sure what it's referring to, whether it's meaning a man or if it means a city or... what? It's a little difficult to understand, because we know that that name is also one of Shem's sons' names. If you see in the line of Shem as we go next, or it's there on your chart, the first page, it's the second one under Shem. So Elam and then Ashur. And so it's believed, some people believe that what this means is that Nimrod actually went and invaded the land of Ashur, and set up there. Now, we know that Ham's line of people did invade into Shem's territory and set up their own land, and they took it from them. Well, that's we talked about that the other day. The land of Canaan is originally Shem's land, his right. But Ham's line took it over, and so they take it back. All right, so if you have a better understanding about Asher here, then by all means, share it with us. But notice that Nimrod is also the founder of Nineveh, and we're familiar with that city as well. Jonah the prophet was sent there and warning them to repent, and it's a very wicked place. Verse 12 says, and Rezin between Nineveh and Kala, the same as a great city. So these are more cities that sprang out of Nimrod. And then verse 13, and Mizraim begat Ludim, and Anamim, and Lahabim, and Naphtahim, and Perithim, and Calcium, out of whom came Philistine and Captorim. That Philistine we're all familiar with, that's Philistines. That's who that is. Enemies, great enemies of God. So these descendants here of Ham's sons, Mizraim, had three sons. It was from his line that the Philistines came from. And they would be eventually become one of the greatest enemies of God's people in all of history. That's where the giant come from, the Philistine giant that David slew, Goliath. All right, verse 15. And Canaan beget Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth. Now, we have that name Canaan again. Now, this has already been mentioned in the previous chapter of being the line that was cursed. He, the Bible says, he would be a slave, a servant to Shem. And so his line of people were to be servants to Shem's people. Well, we know that they did rise up against them. They did go out on their own and do their own thing. But his line of people are wicked. If you look down the list of people groups that sprang out of him, you'll see every one of them were enemies of God. They were not friendly with God's people at all. And we'll see a few of those. Look at verse 16. All these ites in here. And the Jebusite, and the Amorite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Arvadite, and the Zemarite, and the Hamathite. And afterward were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, as thou comest to Gerar, unto Gaza, as thou goest unto Sodom and Gomorrah, and Admah, and Zeboim, even unto Lasha. And these are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, and their countries, in their nations. All right, so a lot of those enemies of God there. And did you notice it mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah as well? And I told you last time, Sodom and Gomorrah is in the land of Canaan. That's where it's at. See if I can find it up here on the chart. It'd be hard to find, I believe. So here's Israel. And so the land of Canaan is going to be right in here. It's Jerusalem. Well, anyway, in here is going to be where that land is. So the land of Canaan, where God allowed his people to go in, which was Shem's, belonged to Shem, but Ham set up there. And one of those places was Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a wicked place. If you remember when Abraham came out of the Ur of Chaldees and he moved into the land of Canaan, where the Canaanites were dwelling, he chose that one section, but his nephew Lot chose Sodom, the land of Sodom. It's still all part of the land of Canaan, where the Canaanites came, which came out of this wicked, wicked line. And we know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. All right, so quickly let's get to the line of Shem. I'm not going to be able to do it justice. Look at verse 21. Unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder, even to him were children born. Now, something very important that I want you to understand here is that phrase, all the children of Eber. Now, if you see up here on the board, I've highlighted Eber. So, we got Shem, and then the Bible says he was, what does it call him? It says, the father of all the children of Eber. Now, you think that's kind of strange considering Eber is down here. Shem's son is Arphaxad, who had Salah, who had Eber. So he's what, a great-grandson or something like that, a great-grandson? But the Bible specifically mentions Eber. Well, I'll tell you why it does that. Eber, did I put it up there? Yeah. Also is called Heber, with an H on the front of it, which is where we get the term Hebrew from. Now, we don't see the word Hebrew until Genesis chapter 14 when it does talk about Abraham, Abram. He's named Abram at that time in Genesis chapter 14, verse 13. It says, and there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelled in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. So there in Genesis 14, 13, we hear, first of all, the word Hebrew. That's where it came from, was from Eber, the great-grandson of Shem. But the Bible specifically mentions him because we're going to find that the Hebrew line is where the Messiah comes from. And so it's always focusing on that line of people. So Hebrew is associated with Abram, which becomes Abraham. And he will later, as he'll later be named, and we'll trace that word back to Shem's great grandson, Eber or Heber. And so this is the line that God blesses, make a nation out of, who eventually becomes who? What does the line of Abraham come from? Or what is he becomes the father of many nations, but he has a son called Jacob. Remember what God changed his name to? Israel. And so Jacob becomes Israel, and that's where the Israelites come from. They are originally Hebrews. And so you'll see a lot about Hebrews in the Bible. Well, that's where the Israelites come from. It's from them. And so, and eventually, and ultimately it comes through Shem, of course, the Semite. Is everybody confused yet? Is everybody clear? Okay. There's a lot of stuff in here. And so, we've got Abram, who's Abraham, who has Jacob, or he has Isaac, who has Jacob. And then Jacob becomes Israel. And then out of Israel comes Judah, his son Judah. And Judah is, of course, the line of Messiah comes out, the line of the tribe of Judah. That's where I was trying to get to. So, Shem, Arphaxad, Salah, Eber, eventually Peleg, Abram, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then eventually all the way down to Jesus. I've skipped a bunch, but... that's on your last page. I'm sorry. The last page is the genealogy of Jesus, and you'll see where all these names are mentioned. Lots of names in between there. And also, this chart, I like it because it gives you both lines of Mary and Joseph. That way you can see how he could be determined to be king of Israel, because he is from the bloodline of David on both sides, even though his earthly father, Joseph, was not blood to him. All right, so those are the lines that come through there. Yeah, and of course, I failed to mention Jesse, who had David, which is the Davidic line, which the Messiah has to come through. All right, now, as I mentioned also already last week and at the beginning of this class, Shem is where we get the word Semite from. They're Semitic people. And if any, you may hear the term a lot of times in the news, they'll say somebody's an anti-Semite or Semitic. Anti-Semitic. And that means they're against the Jew, is what that means. And so we don't ever want to be against the Jew, by the way. We want to see them how God sees them. They're God's people. And so we always are confederates with the Jew. All right, let's quickly go through these next verses. 22 through 32. We'll just read through this. And the children of Shem, Elam and Asher and Arphaxad and Lud and Aram, and the children of Aram, Uz and Hul and Gether and Mash. And Arphaxad begat Salah, and Salah begat Eber. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. And Joktan begat Almadad and Sheleth and Hazmaraveth and Jerah and Hadaram and Uzzel and Dikla and Obel and Abimael and Sheba and Ophir and Havilah and Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan, and their dwelling was from Mesha, as thou goest unto Sepher, a mount of the east. These are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues and their lands, after their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations and their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. So, ultimately, there are 70 different biblical nations that sprang out of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. 70 different nations sprang out of those. 26 of those nations sprang out of Shem. And then you can see the other ones there that's listed in your first page there, the different nations. And so, lots of interesting things in Genesis chapter 10. So, before you do ever decide to glaze over list of names, they're in there for a reason. And mainly for the Jew can trace their heritage, their bloodline back through the genealogies here, going all the way back to Adam, in fact. But good stuff here. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 11, which does deal with Nimrod, deals with the Tower of Babel, deals with the scattering of the people. And we're going to find that... I don't want to spoil it all, but we're going to find that this tower they're building is not to honor God at all. It's to honor men. And that's the reason that God's going to confound their language, and they'll leave off building of the Tower of Babel. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for the study this morning. I pray that it's been helpful. Lord, I pray that you continue helping us understand your word the best that we can. And God, correct us when we're wrong. And Lord, we're praying for our service coming up upstairs. I pray, Lord, if there's one that has a need today, that need will get met, Lord, through the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that you'll be the one exalted and glorified in our service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.